Hi, I'm Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank, and I'm inviting you to take part in our annual Adopt-A-Family program. This holiday season, there are more than 220,000 Long Islanders struggling with food insecurity. By making a donation to our Adopt-A-Family program, we have the opportunity to provide holiday meals for over 5,000 Long Island families in need. It's very easy. Log on to licares.org, click on the Adopt-A-Family logo, and we're celebrating. Welcome back to another episode of Breaking Bread. Today's guest on the program is somebody I've been trying to get on this program for months now. He needs no introduction because he's all over the place. But I'm really delighted to have my friend, Matt Cohn, who's the president and CEO of the Long Island Association, someone whose face and work and words are seen all over the region because he is the leader of one of the largest business organizations here in Nassau and Suffolk County. Matt, welcome. Thanks so much for coming over and doing this.
You got it, my friend. I'm glad we made it happen.
I'm glad, too. So just for the people that may not know, what is the Long Island Association and what's your focus?
Sure. The Long Island Association, we're a business organization, which is functions a lot like a chamber of commerce. Mm-hmm. We're a 501c6 nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. We don't care if it's a Democratic idea or Republican idea, just as long as it's a good idea for Long Island. And there's only eight of us. It's a small shop. We all wear a lot of hats. And our primary mission is to improve the business climate, look out for the business community here on Long Island, promote economic development opportunities, and really keep Long Island the best place to live.
Mm-hmm. You know, together, we've been through a 2.5 year period as a result of the COVID pandemic, where businesses really were hurting. Many closed down restaurants, small boutique mom and pop shops who couldn't managed to hold on because of the impact economically from the pandemic. So here we are out of the pandemic, I believe. And what are you seeing? What's the forecast from your seat for Long Island business? What does the economic corporate field look like right now? We're strong, we're getting better, or we're still having problems?
We're resilient, but we're still recovering. And, you know, Long Island, we have 90% or about 90% of all businesses on Long Island mm-hmm. are small businesses. It's like 100,000 businesses. Really? And they had to work like hell to keep their doors open. And like you said, a lot of them couldn't. And so it's still a struggle because across the board, every industry, there's hiring challenges.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, COVID disproportionately impacted minority-owned businesses. And minority-owned businesses are still having issues accessing capital, and they're experiencing issues that all small businesses are facing, like I said, hiring, inflationary pressures. But, you know, the economy's improving. As you know, better than anybody, Long Island is a very hard place to live in terms of affordability. Mm-hmm. We are a high-cost region. We're always going to be a high-cost region. That's why, for the audience, I was told to look this way for the audience. Paul is a member of our board of directors, has been for a long time. And, yep. You ask, well, why would Long Island Cares be on the board of a business group?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you exactly why. I'm so happy you're on the board.
Thank you.
And as a matter of fact, as we were talking about earlier, we added a couple other nonprofits yep. on the board. And it's important because, yeah, sure, if you're not from Long Island, most people think it's an affluent region.
Right.
Everybody's rich. Everybody's got millions of dollars. And we all know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people here, I bet you know the number off the top of your head, who are food insecure
sure.
or struggling to pay their rent or their mortgage. Even if you seem to be doing better, it's hard to live here. So it's important to have your voice on the board because it's important that other business leaders get it and understand mm-hmm. and hear from you directly. And to say nothing else of the fact that the nonprofit sector on Long Island is a huge part of the economy. So I don't know if I answered your question because I kind of jumped around.
No, but you did answer it because you also gave me the opening to come back at you and say, yes, first of all, I know the numbers about food insecurity.
Well, what are
and
they?
We're talking about 220,000 people.
Which is out of a 3 million person
region. Out of 3 million, yeah. It's, you know,
big number.
Almost 10% of the population. But the challenge we're having now, and not to digress that much, is all of the people who are newly coming to the pantries and the other feeding programs due to the cost of living, due to a high influx of immigrants who are coming to the region and living with multiple families. But as you said, the nonprofit sector is very important when it comes to the economics. The last time the LIA did a survey about nonprofit sector, we were at about 17-18% of the economy on Long Island. And chances are it's increased since then. You know, you look at nonprofit organization, although I don't consider them a charity, and I'm talking about Northwell Health, they're still a nonprofit organization. Right. It's, you know, the charitable sector, you know, maybe 10%, 12%, but we are part of the economic engine because we do bring a lot of money in and a lot of attention and resources. What do you see right now from your vantage point with the board as the major economic challenges the region faces?
I when it comes to Long Island, whenever I talk about the LIA's priorities, I always start with affordability, like we were just touching on, and everything that's related to that. That is the existential issue facing our region. It costs a lot here. For the life of me, I don't understand how anybody, let's say you're in your 20s, 30s, whatever, you have, maybe you're paying anywhere from $2,000 to $3,500 for an apartment, if you're getting an apartment. You have a kid or two, you're paying $1,000 or $2,000 in child care, you got your student loan bill maybe, you got your car payment, all the other stuff, but you're supposed to save $80,000 for a house down payment? It's ridiculous. It's crazy. So that's a big challenge, is to how to address it and how to make, you know, how to make things like childcare more affordable and accessible, how to invest in our infrastructure the right way, how to support industries here on Long Island that have an opportunity to really thrive. Because when they talk about affordability, I've been talking about it from a residential, or let's see,
affordable housing.
It's unaffordable for businesses too. It's almost impossible to get a business to relocate from Texas, Georgia, where, to here.
Where
the danger is, we're losing businesses to these states. And so when we have industries like offshore wind that are really emerging early stage industries, you know, we got to take advantage of that. We are uniquely positioned to do that because we're an island, we're on the water.
We're surrounded by water.
And and we have really highly skilled talent here, students, workforce, et cetera. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think we can do it because, like I said, Long Island's the best place.
I mean, there has to be a willingness on the part of members of the corporate sector, just to put aside for a second affordable housing, which is something that you and the LIA have been talking about for years. It started maybe 12 years ago with the cool downtowns and that whole concept. And then Mayor Pontieri from Patchogue came out and said, look, this can be done on Long Island. Look what we've been able to accomplish. But there's so much unwarranted pushback when you talk about some of these, you know, downtown type affordable housing programs that exist. And you have quite a few people from the real estate industry on the board of the LIA. Do you think at some point in time we'll get to a place where someone graduates college and can find an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment, for less than $1,500 a month because they're only making, let's say, $54,000?
Gosh, I hope so. That's why that's why I do what I do, you know? One of the reasons why I do what I do, because you know, if we're not growing, we're dying. And if people can't afford to live here, they're going to move elsewhere. And that's not good for anybody, including the business community. So,
I agree.
You know, it's, will we get to $1,500 a month? I would be shocked.
I mean, I remember when I first moved out of my parents' house and my wife and I had just met in college and we got our first one-bedroom apartment in 1980, our rent was $450.
Wow.
You know, that was pretty good for a guy that was making $15,000. I could deal with that. But today, it doesn't look like young people on Long Island are going to have that kind of opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. Yeah, and that's related to what you just said. We have come a long way from where we were in terms of mindset. You know, you were talking about certain communities that have a certain reaction to affordable housing mm-hmm. or adding apartments. Mm-hmm. That's certainly true. It's still true. 40 years ago, it was a lot worse. 30 years ago, it was a lot worse. We are evolving, I think. I think as the new generations have a different way of thinking, and I think that's reflected in the number of affordable housing units we've done and the attitudes around it. And when you mm-hmm. have visionary mayors like Paul Ponthierry or Farmingdale or mm-hmm. you know, it's a handful of communities that are really leading the way. We just got to get the others to do so too.
Yeah. You talk about your mission and trying to achieve it. You do outstanding work in the social advocacy arena. You do excellent work when it comes to educating the region about business issues, about solutions to problems. You have a great committee structure. Let's talk a little bit about the committee structure and why you put together a committee on health, education, a committee on, economics or some of the other ones that we've put. There's so many, I forget how many there are. But you've done stuff on energy.
Yeah.
You've done stuff on tourism.
Yep.
How does that allow you to accomplish your mission?
We're a membership-based organization. Right. And so we have, I lost count too, maybe 8 or 9 committees that are set up for our members. They're chaired and vice-chaired by board members, one of which mm-hmm. is by you, yep. The Health Education Nonprofit Committee, as you were referring to. And these are important platforms for mm-hmm. the LIA to bring in, just meet with the health commissioner Correct. Every day. And they can ask questions and they can get FaceTime and the commissioner can give all this information that's important to the business community. We just had the SUNY Chancellor, John King.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that? I mean, most businesses here on Long Island don't get to sit down and hear directly from John right. King. And right. he's telling us what they're doing on the whole state, but what they're doing also on Long Island, why it impacts the business community, how it's going to affect economic development. So we put these together. It's also a good opportunity to network, right? Mm-hmm. And to connect. Listen, you could have, a table making company meet someone who makes cups and mm-hmm. they didn't know each other. And now one of right. them's a vendor for the yeah. other, you know, that was a bad example, but it was in front of me.
No, but you know, you're 100% right. Because as one of the co-chairs of the Health and Education Nonprofit Committee, previously the last New York State Health Commissioner,
mm-hmm.
Came down and I would have no access to the commissioner or her executive deputy commissioner. And I thought it was so beneficial, not just to me, not just mm-hmm. because of the work we do, but the fact that we were sitting in a room with presidents of hospitals,
mm-hmm.
nonprofit leaders, healthcare providers, nurses were there, and having that dialogue. But you don't limit it to decision makers from government or through corporations. You've done some of the most amazing interviews. And you have to listen to this for real because he's really good.
I don't know about that.
Celebrities. You've yeah. interviewed just recently David Beckham. In the past, the association has interviewed former presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's part of the fundraising focus, but just making these people available is important. But you also have a great way. You mentioned earlier about nonpartisanship. You also have a very good way of staying out of the fray, but keeping some presence in it, just so that we know what's going on, so that the corporate community is better informed.
So we're sort of like politics adjacent.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, but it works.
We don't want to get dragged in the mud. Like mm-hmm. I said, it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, as long as you try and do the right thing, mm-hmm. that's all that matters. And, you know, especially in today's world where everything is so bitter and acrimonious
Tough.
And
really
it's
is.
Brutal. So, yeah. you know, like our membership, I don't know who's a Democrat and who's a Republican. Mm-hmm. I don't think they care either. And I don't want to get involved. Look, we advocate. I probably mm-hmm. should have mentioned that in the beginning, too. One of our core missions is we advocate for certain priorities. Mm-hmm. Right? We advocate directly to government leaders on the state, federal, and local levels.
Right.
So we're advocates, but I'm not getting involved in the politics.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never see me at a fundraiser. I don't do that stuff.
So the programs, the meetings, the workshops, those are all available to people in the business community. You don't have to be just the CEO.
Absolutely not.
How many members does the LIA have now, corporate members?
We're now serving 1 billion corporate members.
1 billion?
Yeah, bet McDonald's numbers. It was a joke that fell flat with you, but I tried. It's in the thousands.
In the thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Matt Cohn, there's a reason why I'll have to give this out also for transparency. Matt is just been named one of the 60 most influential Long Islanders, along with his senior vice president for services there, Stacy Sykes. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, we don't. And I hope that we'll be able to get you to come back sooner rather than later. I hope you.
I'm free tomorrow.
There we go. Okay. If you like what you're seeing, subscribe to our YouTube channel right here to see more episodes of Breaking Bread. Until the next time, this is Paul Pachter, president and CEO of Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank. Go out there and do something nice for each other. We'll see you again.